There will come a day for each of us when we leave this earth and cross over to the great unknown. As believers, we hold fast to our faith. It's a place we've never been. It's the great mystery. Let's say you knew it was coming. You had one night left on this planet. What would you say to your friends, your family? What would you want them to remember when you were gone? Jesus knew he was about to make that journey. Newly arrived in Jerusalem, he'd gathered with his disciples for one last Passover meal. The atmosphere outside was tense, and inside, the disciples had been arguing with one another, feuding for his favor. Who would be most important? Who would get to sit at his right hand? Instead of declaring who would be in charge of what, Jesus filled a basin with water, draped a simple towel over his arm. He knelt before each one of them, washing their feet and scrubbing their hearts. Outside, the religious leaders were plotting Jesus' death, and inside, he's giving his followers a mandate, a command. Live humbly. Serve sacrificially. And love others the way that I loved you. That last statement is everything. Jesus was about to show the world exactly what it looked like.
Well, between now and Easter, we have this opportunity to reflect on the precious love of Jesus poured out for you and me. And you guys are taking that opportunity today together to think about that. I think that's wonderful that we can spend that extra time to reflect on that. On Sunday last week, we talked about the triumphal entry of Jesus on Passover week. That occurs in John chapter 12, so I thought it'd be fitting to go John chapter 13 today to continue the story. So we're going to head over to verse 1. John 13 says this, that before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and that wasn't going to change. Now he loved them to the very end. So we see a purpose for Jesus on his last day. He's reflecting on the reason that he came, and it was to do what? It was to love. Love to the very end, no matter what the cost. Verse 2. Oh, back a chapter. He talks about this purpose of love. Jesus had told them that the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. So he knew it was the time. There was no surprise for Jesus and that he was going to the cross. There was no victim mentality there, but he offered his life willingly. And he knew that the time had come. And he says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care for their life in this world, those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? No, for this is the very reason I came. His mind was on love. this time of Passover week, this time of Holy Week, we're reflecting on the love of Christ. That's why he came. He knew from the very beginning, in the creation of the world, that he was going to give his life for it. Now to verse 2 of chapter 13. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he had come from God and would return to God. I usually miss this part of the story. In that painting of the Last Supper, they usually don't show Satan there, do they? But there is a cosmic battle that's happening. A moment in all of human history that comes down to this point. Jesus is leading with love. Satan is pressing on with hate to kill the Son of God. Back in chapter 12, we actually see a reference to this. Jesus says that the time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. I love that Jesus pressed on with love to fight a world of hate, a system that is selfish. He leads out with love, no matter what the cost, knowing that that's going to win. Back to our chapter in 13. So he had got up from the table, and he took off his robe, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. I've wondered the significance of washing the feet. If it was me, I probably would have rather done a back rub or a high five or something. I think the feet it represents probably the dirtiness and the messiness that other people bring. The baggage that people bring. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to love through that dirt and that messiness and the stink. Sending a message to us that we are not disqualified for grace and mercy because of our sin. But it's because of that very sin that we desperately need this love of Jesus. Moving forward here in the chapter, he ends up washing their feet. And Peter, as always, puts his foot in his mouth. He doesn't want Jesus to wash his feet. And then he wants a whole bath. And Jesus just says, you know, can you just settle down, Peter? Let me do this for you. He's washing their feet. He's also reminding and washing their hearts with love. Before this, they had been arguing about who would be the greatest. If a king knew it was his last day, he'd probably set someone to be next in charge, next in command. And yet he sets these disciples up to be next in line to serve, the next in line to love. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. That word for ought is an indebtedness, like you owe money And we owe that to Jesus. Next time you don't want to wash someone's feet, metaphorically speaking, next time you say, I don't owe it to that person to forgive them, to love them, to bear the burden of their messiness and their dirt, remember that you do owe it. You are indebted. You were bought with a price out of the precious love of Jesus. We have the example that he set for us. He just clearly says, do as I have done. It's a command. It's a mandate. For a while, I did not know why this day is called Monday Thursday. I didn't know if it was a Monday or a Thursday, or maybe it was Monday through Thursday that we celebrated. I didn't grow up with this tradition. But that word Monday comes from a Latin word mandatum, which means mandate. It's a command. Today we're looking at the command that Jesus gave to love. Next slide. The end of the chapter, he says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. It's new because you haven't had my example before. This command, this mandate, is to love each other. That's the legacy. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. This next line is beautiful. For your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What a great evidence to the resurrection that Jesus is requesting. He didn't say, take my photograph and show it to the world for proof. He says, the proof that's in the pudding is if you can love. Because love comes from God. Love wins. I think of that scripture where there is love, it casts out fear. Perfect love casts out the evil and the hate in the world. And it only has one source, and it is the evidence that Jesus is asking for. Last year, Dustin gave a great message on the unity out of John 17, very closely linked to this, that by our unity and by our love, the world will see evidence of who Jesus is and that he is in fact alive. There's a prayer out of Ephesians I want to bring us to here. This is what I want for all of us over these next days. That we would encounter and be filled with the love of Jesus in a fresh and a new way. Do you want that? Well, I have good news for you. It's available. It is an unlimited resource. That's why it says that I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I want us to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God this Easter. Filled to the brim with however much love we can behold and contain. Won't that change a life? There's a lot of dry cups out there. And yet we're called to be full cups overflowing cups with the precious love of Christ. So with that reflection, I'm going to invite us to come up and take the Lord's Supper. Go ahead and grab the elements and then take a seat. We'll take them corporately together. I want you to hold both these elements and reflect on the precious gift. That they are. Don't let their familiarity rob you of its wonder. That Jesus, the King of all creation, through whom all things were created by him and for him, would be the one to give of himself for our sin, our past, present, and future failings, that he would draw us to himself and reconcile us to himself through Christ's physical body, through death on a cross. To present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, as we continue in the hope held out in the gospel. So on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it. He broke it in many pieces. And he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's pray. Oh, living, resurrected Jesus, we thank you for your victory. But tonight, we thank you for your sacrifice. That you took our place on that cross. That you took our sin as a nail through your hands out of love. Out of true love for each of us. Let us slow down these next days to truly reflect on that. To embrace that gift that you have given us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.